Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
And I just want to share some thoughts, really. For those of you that are, you know, part of the congregation, I know we got some honoured visitors. Even if you are stealing on our people, that's fine. We've got some honoured guests here, which we love. Yes, Andy Elms, who we love dearly. How many of you know Andy Elms? Okay, so Andy Elms is great guy. He's a friend of Kingdom Faith. I love him. I wouldn't want to eat him. I love him. He's actually coming up to Faith Camp for, I think, the middle part of that week. He's going to be involved in some way, shape or form, even if he's just dead at the front, giving it large. But we're excited about having him around. I think some of his family and Antonia's even threatened to come up for a day. But I won't tell you which day.
Friday's just
that. Oh. Okay, thanks. Thanks, Andrea. So when you see her on the Friday, just act surprised, right? So, well, I never knew you were coming. It was interesting because Antonia said, it is at Roffey, isn't it? I should have said yes, but I didn't. No, it's not. Anyway, so the message that I've got, just some thoughts, really, because you all look like pretty smart, extraordinary people. Is that okay to say that? Yeah. Particularly over this side. Because you want the balloon thing. Is we've been going through the Bible reading, and I just love the kind of where we are at in the Word of God. One is in Exodus and also Corinthians, but I just want to share some thoughts around Exodus, because as Christians, you may or may not have read this bit of the Bible a few times, but there's just some thoughts I want to pull out, and then we're going to dip into the New Testament for just a minute, just to see how Jesus pursued you.
Amen.
Don't apologize for saying amen. The rest should apologize for not, but anyway, that's another story. So we're going to look at Exodus, and the scriptures hopefully will come up behind me because Josh is on it. He's had 8 weeks on holiday somewhere. Where were you? Scarborough. So Josh and Steve have been in Scarbados on holiday for 5 weeks, and they've been sunning it and up Flamborough and Filey and eating fish and chips and doing whatever they do, and now they're back. You're a bit quick, mate. I haven't even said it yet. It's all right. He's on it. He's in a time zone of his own. We're going to dip into a few scriptures in Exodus. It's around the Bible reading, but just comment on some of it here. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. I believe everybody in this room, God has got a role for you. He's got something that you can do, and only you can do it. Whatever experience you've got of God, however well you've known God, however you think God knows you, God has got a role for you. And it's around your destiny. But there's always a challenge of, I can't do this. Who's going to do it with me? How many of you know what that's like? It's like God puts something in front of you. It's like, okay, I know it's there, but I'm going to need some help to get there. We phone a friend, or we ask the crowd, or we take half of them away. It's okay, I'll take half the choices away. Sometimes we respond like, Lord, I need some help. God has a destiny for you. But there's no way that without God you'll ever fulfill it. And Moses was realizing this. It goes on and it says this in the scripture. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Don't you just love the fact that not only has God got something specifically for you, he names you for it. There was a kind of, I don't know if you felt in the praise and worship where God was just kind of just ministering through song, through Victoria, about the conqueror, victorious. Whenever you focus on who Jesus is, rather than what you want him to do, or what you think he should do, or what you're disappointed that he hasn't done, when you focus on the character of Jesus, it lifts you. You and I don't need a reason to praise Jesus. He is the reason. And when we're challenged and when God gives us stuff to do, we can sometimes praise the stuff rather than praise the one who gives us the stuff. And how many of you know this? God will never ask you to do anything that is smaller than you. He'll only ask you to do something that's bigger than you. Woo! if your dream isn't big enough, it's probably not from God. God wants to give us more than we can do. God's very tricky like that. If you haven't realized that already, you certainly will. You certainly will. Somebody said to me years ago, he said, you kind of live on the edge a lot, don't you? And I said, I like to. And he said, if you're living on the edge, you're taking up too much room. You just have to work that one out. Where do you go? Over it. And sometimes life can feel like we're living on the edge, but there's another place beyond that that God wants to take us, which is over the edge. God wants us to live over the edge, not edgy. All right, edgy people can be a bit emotionally up and down. They can be a bit here 1 minute, gone the next. But no, God wants us to live over the edge because his edge is him. And he pursues us to that. It goes on and says this, I know you by name. He knows your personality. He knows your abilities. He wants to resource it and give opportunities for it. Everybody in this room, God wants to resource you to be a victorious person. He wants to resource you to be an overcoming man or woman or a young person. He wants you to be ending up at the top, not lurking at the bottom. I'm just reading from the scripture. Another one's going to come up. If you're pleased with me, this is Moses, teach me your way, not so that I'm smart, not so that I'm intellectual, but so that I know you more. I'm just so thrilled, and I hope you are, that when I made a decision to give my life to Jesus, it was because he'd already made his decision to give his life to me. I'm just so thankful that when I decided to follow Jesus, it's because he'd already decided to lead me. That's true for you too. Is that today Jesus wants to lead us. How does he lead us? Well, some of you that kind of read the Bible a lot, he always leads us from one strength to another strength. The Bible calls it glory. He leads us from one breakthrough to another breakthrough. The Bible says triumphal procession. So one of the hallmarks yesterday, this piece of glass changed. Why? Because a load of victorious people turned up. Was everything smooth? No. Did everything go according to plan? Not ours. Not his. Not mine. But I've got so used to the fact that my plan is worth nothing if Jesus is not at the center of the planning stage. All I have is a good idea. Say good. There's a difference between good and God. Say God. The difference between God and good is O. And you will find, and I will find, and you will have experienced that when I have an our plan and it's got God in it, I end up going, oh. And Tony said it was good. You groaned. That's okay. How many of you know that? Sometimes it's like, yeah, I've heard from God. It's a good idea. I don't want good ideas. I want God's idea because a good idea will never be better than the best idea, which is God's. And we all have to deal with this, which is why God says, as you follow me, you won't get smarter, you'll get wiser. As you follow me, you don't get richer, you get more wealth. As you follow me, I'll change you. So teach me your way, O God, so that I will know you. Bible puts it this way, if we know God, we know everything. How many of you want to know everything? You won't find it in a book. You'll find it in the author of the book. Doesn't matter how much of the Bible you know. It's about how much of the author you know. Hallelujah. Is anybody encouraged so far? I am. I'm encouraged. I'm hearing this. I haven't heard most of this before. It's amazing. We go on learning about God as we follow him on the journey. Then it goes on and says this, remember that this nation is your people. Sometimes you and I can say, okay, God, you've given me all of this, but remember you gave it to me. This was not my idea. How many of you know that never catches God out at all? God is the idea. I just feel it's such a privilege to be able to share in the plan that God has for me and for us. I don't have to come up with the next great idea, thank God. I just need to keep following Jesus and allow him to make me look smart, which is a miracle of grace. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest, was the answer to that one. Can I just throw this into your life? Whatever your Sunday looks like, God wants you to rest in it and rest from it. Doesn't mean we sit around and do nothing. It just means that the bit inside of you that makes you you can be at peace with God. Remember, peace is not a lack of noise. Peace is the presence of a prince. Peace is not loads of quietness. Peace actually is full health within your spirit, which then affects your soul. Yesterday, it was like people came up to me and said, you know, this lady, why have you got so much energy? I could have said because I eat blue Smarties, but that would not be true, all right? I says, because I just feel energized today. Why? Because God's here. Now, in our head, it was like, fruitcake. We had some great fruitcake, by the way. My wife made it yesterday. But what I was trying to communicate with her is when you follow Jesus, you get energy beyond what you're supposed to have. In fact, the more you give, the more you get back. You know, and, you know, some of the days went well. Some of them went less well. And people come up to me saying, you know, they were apologetic. Well, I don't care. I'm still saved. God's still for me. The world might be against me, but he's still for me. Have you got that? Yeah. When you follow Jesus, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Have you realized that? But he is still for you. I'm not asked. Almost stood on Judy's foot yesterday, and I apologised because, you know, we were in this very intimate coffee shop environment. She said, it's my birthday today. I didn't realise it was a 21st birthday, otherwise we'd have given her the bumps. So we probably couldn't. It had been bumps upright. So it would have been up and down, not flat. It would have been up, down, because there was just no room to do it that way. It was, we should have done that.
I'm glad you did.
Moses said to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And this again, just to reiterate something I said earlier, that God's got a destiny for you. He's got a plan for you. And there's a resource for that plan. There's opportunity for that plan. He wants to use your ability and shape them and extend them. But if we try and do it without God going, we will fail. How many of you know that God does not produce a failure when he called you? You are not the first failure that God has ever made. You won't be. God calls on purpose. He calls deliberately. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me, Moses goes on, and people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me or us and your people from all the other people of the face of the earth? I don't know what the population of the world is. Is it 70 billion? Seven? 7 billion? Well, they weren't all at Broadwater yesterday. Clearly, but walking around the environment again, you could see that we were just weird. And I mean that in a positive sense. In terms of people around the stand, we were significantly higher than any other stand, apart from one, and that was a food one. When he was looking at what people were leaving like, there was nothing else like it. People were coming up to me with money. Can we give you money? No, you can't. I can give you a bottle of water. I can give you a free tea and coffee. I can pray with you. And it just impacted people. Why? Because in an environment like our community, I believe you and me as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be weird and stick out. If you've got an old kind of version of the Bible, it says we're peculiar. Just look at the person next to you. Are they peculiar? No, okay, we won't ask that one. Yes, we will. Are they peculiar?
Yeah.
Okay, Antonia, she's really nodding. Okay. Knowing God makes us different by nature. As we pursue God, that nature gets changed, developed, and become more like Jesus, the Bible says. Read this next bit quickly. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Here's another one to throw into the pot. Jesus, God, is pleased with you. Now, just pause for thought, okay? This is God who thought about everything, made everything, is Lord over everything, keeps everything where it is, knows everything before it happens, knows everything that happened and will happen. In all of that, he says he is pleased with you. That's a good validation. How many of you wake up in the morning as pleased with you as God is pleased with you? You might be pleased if you've had 6 hours sleep. Lenny, you never do that, do you? You might be pleased if it's a sunny day. You might be pleased if you just wake up and you've had your vitamin, whatever it is. Jesus is constantly pleased with me. And he's constantly pleased with you. I like that. How do I begin to receive? The Bible says by believing in him. Let's put it this way. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, I want to please God. Does anybody else want to please God? Then believe in him. I've realized really, really quickly that I can either believe in me, I can believe in you, or I can believe in God. And I'm learning that I get great pleasure in believing God. I get some pleasure in believing you. That's good. I get very little pleasure in believing in me. Because I know what I'm like. But when I start believing in God, God, you're amazing. Suddenly, pleasure is there. Do you know what I mean by that? It's just like, yeah, it's going to be all right. It's going to work out fine. It can rain. I don't care. I'm waterproof. We were the only people really doing what we were doing. When it poured down in rain, heavens open. How many of you know we were praying for heavens to open in the morning? Okay, we get what he asked for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was sitting there giggling. I thought, this is funny. Thank you, Jesus. We just kept doing what we were doing. Everybody else is, oh, it's raining. There was gazebos blowing down. There were people getting wet and windy. We just had two marquees full of people. I don't care. I don't care what you use, God. Just bring them in here. Hallelujah. And there was a pleasure in the afternoon. It wasn't a pleasure getting wet, but we dry out. What? It was. Thank you. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. God wants to answer you. He wants to show us. He wants to open up a door to us. Our confidence in Jesus is the key to success. Thanks for that. There's two people. Our confidence in Jesus is the key to success. My confidence in me is the key sometimes to be successful. Our confidence in others is sometimes is a bit more, but our confidence in him every time is successful. Jesus pursues failure to move it out of our way. He pursues division to push it out the way. He pursues hindrances to break them open. The Bible says that God is the Lord of breakthrough. Well, you only have to have a Lord of breakthrough when there's something to break through. Within our families, within our workplace, within our home, even within Sundays, he is still the same Jesus. He is the Lord of the breakthrough. He suddenly doesn't switch off because it's Sunday morning. Oh, there's a bunch of Christians around together. That, you know, it's okay. You know, Kingdom Faith meeting, you know, family churches meeting. It's all right. I'll sit down, let them get on with it. Is not how Jesus thinks. Jesus thinks, right, how can I use those? How can I reveal myself through them? How can I bless them? How can I bless Gosport and Haven and Portsmouth and Worthy? I forgot where I was then. How can I bless all these people? What's he got to use? He's just got extraordinary people like you and like me. That's it. He isn't going to detail a squadron of angels. Oh, that was good timing. He's going to detail you and me to do extraordinary things, but I don't really know God. God doesn't really care. I mucked it up last time. That's why Jesus is known as a redeemer. When we start to celebrate his nature, we get lifted, right? Then Moses said, show me your glory, show me your goodness, show me the best bit of you. And I believe this is kind of the bit at the moment I just want to land on in these last few moments is God has the best for you to come. I enjoyed yesterday. It was great. I loved it. All the stuff that God was doing, great. But for me, it's just touching the surface of who God is. There is much more. Much more. Man, if we thought yesterday was brilliant, we need to connect with Jesus again. It was great. I loved it. People experienced God. But there is much more. God is pursuing us, so we pursue Him for the much more. Show me your glory, your goodness, your best part. And I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, the Lord said, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. In other words, I'm in charge. I'll do everything out of my own nature. That's my granddaughter. She's enjoying it. Hallelujah. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, and I want you to read this particularly up on the screen or in your Bible if you've got one. There's a place near me, say near me. There's a place near me where you may stand on a rock. Say a rock.
A rock.
Thank you. You're very obedient. You can have an extra coffee. When the glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but you must not see my face. In other words, God says, I'm going to do exactly what you asked for. I want you to see the best part of me. I want you to see the brightest part of me. I want you to see the core of who I am, but I've got to put you somewhere to see it. Mm-hmm. Let's put it this way. Sometimes it's between a rock and a hard place. And we think, oh God, it's a rock and a... No, that's where it's safe. That's where God wants us to be. That's where we need to be for our own health. God says, I'm going to put you in a cleft of a rock between a rock and a hard place. Let's move on 1,542 years, shall we? Into the book of John. This is Jesus. Later, knowing everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said this. He was hanging on the cross. Everything that needed to be done was done. Everything that needed to be sorted was sorted. Everything that needed ticking was ticking. Every box that needed crossing was crossing. Everything was done. It was all done. It doesn't just mean I finished for the day. This is I finished for eternity. Everything is done. Come on. 1,542 years after Moses says, show it to me, Jesus says, I've done enough now so you can see it. 1,542 years after Moses says, teach me your way, Jesus says, okay, watch this. Watch this now. It's done. It's finished. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant. There's all kinds of reasons for that. Lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he'd received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Nobody took Jesus' life. He gave his life. Your sickness did not take his life. Your difficulty did not take his life. Your rejection, if you've got it, he didn't give his life because of that. He gave his life because of you. Nothing took the life from Jesus. Cancer didn't, AIDS didn't, leukemia didn't, nothing did. He gave his life to pay for all of those. Being isolated, orphaned. You didn't steal the life from Jesus because of that. He gave it for you. He gave it for you. Now it was a day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath because the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies, all this stuff. The point is this. The soldiers, before they came and sorted out the man, had been crucified with Jesus. Then the one on the other side, the two criminals. When they came to Jesus and found he was already dead, they just pierced his side. That was a cleft in the rock. That, 1,542 years after Moses experienced it, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. And immediately there was a place in Jesus where you can stand, I can stand, and we can see all of the best part of God. There's a place in the rock, his name is Jesus, where you can find your destiny. We can get your value. You can work out your purpose, but it's not outside, it's inside. There's a place in the side of Jesus, right near his heart, when you can experience Jesus personally. You can hear from Jesus regularly. I don't care how long you've known God or not. You're only as good as this moment that you're following him right now. Past success or failure means nothing to Jesus. He's only interested in now and tomorrow. You could have failed 1,000 times. Jesus will forgive you if you ask him 1,001. You might have mucked it up 100 times. If you come to God, he'll sort it out 101. Why? Because he's pursuing you. He wants you and me to live out of his glory, not just look for it. 1,542 years before this was written, God provided what he could provide. There's a rock in a hard place. Stand there. 1,542 years later, he said, there's a place in my son. Stand there. Cleft in the rock. His name is Jesus. Next to his heart, where the life is, where the nature is, where his passion is, where everything that he is exactly where he wants you and me to be. When we're in the praise and worship, I don't know about you, but I could feel the presence of the Lord. But then I could feel him experiencing me. Some of you look a bit weird. He was saying, okay, just praise me a bit more. Okay, then jump around a bit. Somebody said yesterday, where do you get your energy from? I told you this already. Yeah. Not Blue Smarties, Jesus. You see, you might be a little bit senior in years, but Jesus hasn't aged. You might just be very young in your relationship with Jesus. He wants you to grow up. Because our dependence, like Moses learned, was not about the task or about the next step. The dependence was not around about my ability or inability. It was, I'm going to stay in the cleft of the rock and let God pass by, and then I'm just going to follow him. Let's all stand up, shall we? I'm just going to follow him. This word pursue has come out. It came out in the prayer. It came out during the service time a bit earlier. Just want to leave you with this initial thought, which is, however well or not you think you're doing with Jesus, you might read the Bible a lot, you might not have read it for weeks, you might know the Holy Spirit, you might have no clue who the Holy Spirit is, the power of God. Just want you to know this, God is pursuing you so that you experience the best God has. He's not pursuing you because he's got nothing else to do. He's pursuing you because you're the apple of his eye. He's not pursuing you because you're a miserable wreck. He's pursuing you because he wants to make you a glorious saint. He's not pursuing you because you keep mucking it up. He's pursuing you because he wants you to be great. And he's always wanted you to be great. 1,542 years between Moses asking and God providing, not just so that one person could hide in the rock, but so that anybody could. Anybody could. I don't know, maybe there's a bit of you just sticking out. Maybe your mind's sticking out. It's like maybe you got random thoughts. Maybe you get daydreams, night dreams. Maybe you just got fantasy dreams. I have no idea. Put your head back in the rock. Focus your eyes on Jesus. God didn't give you and me a wandering mind. We were born with one. If you're going to give your life to Jesus, you're born with another one. It's not like that one. Maybe you kind of your eyes just keep wandering around, looking at this, looking at that, pursuing all kinds of things. No, let's pursue Jesus. I need this, I need that, I need that to be fulfilled. No, we just need God to be fulfilled. No, I need to do that, or I need to be that. No. Jesus makes us who we need to be. And as we follow him, he makes us greater. Not so that we look great, but so that he does. I'm just going to pray. You can close your eyes if you want. You can keep open if you want. It's up to you. But I just want you to just maybe just refocus a bit. Jesus, I thank you that you've put me right at the center of your heart. Because he has. We might not have felt anything. Let me tell you, Jesus felt something. Jesus has put you and me right at the center of his heart. Not with a sense of reluctance, but with joy. With the joy set before him, the Bible says, he endured. If it feels like we're just on an endurance run, you need to get the joy of the Lord back in your life, my friend. Man, I tell you, one person can run really fast, but two can run further. You might be thinking, oh, it's really hard work. Well, stop working hard and start trusting in Jesus. It's like pushing concrete uphill, and I've tried it. I pushed a generator in the back of a trailer twice. I suddenly realised, God, I need some help here. And he said, okay, when you ask, you get. Father, I want to thank you right now for every person here, every person that's connected with here, that today they will see that you have provided for them a place. One of the things that kind of sparked this message off to me was, I think it's from Les Miserables. I heard it on the radio. There's a place for us. That one. I'm not going to sing it, partly because I only sing in the bathroom. And when I was just reflecting on that, Jesus said, there's a place for you as well. But you don't have to fight for it or vote for it or run for it. You just have to trust me for it. I said, okay, Jesus, where is that place? And he said, right in my side. Right by his heart. Father, I want to thank you. You made a way where there was no other way. Thank you that it's finished. Wherever there has seemed like sickness is pursuing us, we break that pattern right now. And I thank you that your health pursues us. Where there's any sense of rejection or isolation, we break those things right now. Because I thank you that you pursue us with your righteousness, everything that is good about you. Where there is just a sense of isolation, separation, Father, I thank you that you broke those things because you want us to know that we belong to you and to one another. Anybody in this room that in any way is pursuing a sense of my life is not worth anything, I thank you that you made each life worth everything. Amen. You took nobody's and made them into somebody's. Amen. You took anyone's and made them into someone's. You took nobody's and made them into extraordinary bodies. So I thank you right now that by your Spirit, you just open up the eyes of our heart and our mind so that we see just how wide and deep and high and long is the love of God in Christ Jesus. That we just see you pursue us, you racing after us, your passion makes you chase us so that we will find you. I thank you for an extraordinary week. Whether we go into faith camp or not, you are still God. Yes. Let us make a decision tomorrow morning and the next morning. This morning, Jesus, I'm going to rest in your side, but I'm going to pursue you in passion. Yes. We need to get a bit more passionate. One of the reasons why God did so much yesterday is because there was passion to get stuff done. Well, can I just suggest that we plan and prepare for Monday just as much as we did for yesterday? For me, there's no such thing as we do a special event for God. We shouldn't have to do a special event for God. Everything that we do is special. Is that right? Let's just put our arms up. Father, I want to thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that you just seal your word in our hearts, in our minds. I thank you for every person here, every family, every household, every mum, every dad, every sister, every brother, every aunt, every uncle, every grandchild. Hallelujah. I thank you for everybody in Worthing that experienced something extraordinary yesterday. We just reach out towards them. We just reach out and we, as it were, pull them towards the altar of salvation. We declare salvation over you, your households, your children, and your children's children. We want to thank you for every conversation, every prayer time, every gospel sharing time yesterday, that you're watching over it and your hand is going to perform it. And because we know that, we give you the thanks and we give you the praise. Come on, let's praise him. Let's celebrate him. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.